Welcome to Beyond Rent, the property management podcast brought to you by Rent Manager. Each episode, we sit down with an expert to talk industry updates, tech solutions, and top tips for those in the property management space. And now, let's get to the conversation and go Beyond Rent.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Beyond Rent. We all face setbacks and challenges throughout our lives. And for many, when situations arise, it can threaten their finances and even threaten their housing situation. Luckily, there are amazing organizations that are there to step in and help during hard times. So today we have Amy from Hope and Door joining us to share more about their amazing group and what they're doing to keep families in homes. Amy, welcome to Beyond Rent.
Hey Joe, it's really great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. I do all types of different podcasts and different topics. This one really excites me because of the level of giving back and the service that's really behind your organization. So super excited to learn more and share this with our audience. But before we do that, I want to get to know you a little bit better. So go and share some of your background, some of your information that the audience might find valuable.
Well, sure. So most people might be interested to know that before I joined Hope and Door, had zero experience in multifamily housing. I always say that it reminds me of the Keebler cookie commercial where you would walk past the big tree and you would open up the tree trunk and there was a whole cookie factory inside that you didn't even know about. That's the way I think as an outsider to the industry when I learned that there was this entire universe of people working together to keep people housed, to make sure that the roofs were safe, that rents were being collected, and all of those things. I had been a tenant, but I had no idea that all of that was happening. So my background, I've worked for over 30 years in nonprofit management, a lot of it in the social service space. So in terms of working to make sure that people have the resources and services that they need to be successful in whatever space that is a familiar space to me, but not necessarily in the housing universe. So that is how I came to Hope and Door with some information, but not a lot about housing.
Yeah, that's great. And I want to thank you for spending 30 years serving people. I think that's an amazing career to build. It definitely takes a special person to have that level of commitment to nonprofits, right? Because it is a lot of work and it's a lot of, I think, helping people, but a lot of asking people for money to be able to go do that as well, which can be very challenging as well. So excellent. So really the goal of today's episode is to learn more about really what Hope and Door is doing. But I think to set the stage for that, I think we have to understand why your organization even exists. So Amy, maybe if you could walk us through a little bit of what you are seeing on a national scale when it comes to housing.
Right. So, you know, the picture is, you know, drawn in a few different ways. One is, you know, that 30,000 foot space is that on a daily basis, there are just over 700,000 people in the United States that are facing homelessness. And of those, about 40% are children under the age of 18. And when you take those kids and put them into families, about 25% of all of those who are homeless are families with children. So that's, you know, one piece of the puzzle. The other piece of the puzzle is that about half of Americans have less than $500 in the bank. So, and of that, 30% have less than $100 in the bank. So it doesn't take a big emergency, really, it's emergencies small and large, that can derail a family financially and put them in a position where housing becomes a problem for them. They probably, you know, if they are choosing to pay for housing, they probably don't have enough for food. Maybe they don't have enough for the medicine or medical care that they need. But, you know, when your margins are that narrow, it doesn't take much for really the wheels to fall off the family bus. So that's the big picture. And I think that the history of Hope and Door, the organization was founded in June of 2021. So we just celebrated our fourth birthday by Dan and Steve Berger from Berger Communities, which is a mid-sized property management company based in suburban Philadelphia. Their, you know, focus was really on families with kids because it's the kids who are really the innocent victims when a family faces eviction. And I think that when you look at studies from places like the Princeton Eviction Lab, that's based at Princeton University, you know, they look at from a family, you know, generation to generation, that when a child faces eviction or there's some kind of hardship in the family, they are much more likely to face that same kind of thing as adults. So I think for Dan and Steve Berger, looking at how you can make that impact from one generation to the next is how they came to focus their philanthropy on families with kids. They are a very, very philanthropic family, always have been. They're very generous in ways big and small in the Philadelphia and international community. And I think that they were looking for a tool to make sure that they were having as big an impact as they could, and to welcome and invite their friends and colleagues from the multifamily housing industry to join them in helping to solve a problem that isn't just in Philadelphia. This is a 50-state problem. Anywhere where you have, apartment housing, you have the potential for families who are struggling and the opportunity to help them. So that's a little bit about the history behind, you know, how we got to where we are and the why behind what we're doing.
Yeah, that's great. And some of those stats are really astonishing when you think about it, that 25% of that category of homelessness are families, right? People with children. And when you think about family units and children, and not that all homelessness isn't a problem, but the fact that kids are impacted really, you know, is a little bit different because, you know, kids are in school or they're trying to do different things. And when they don't have the security of a home, those other things become really, really challenging for them, right? How do you succeed in school if you don't know where your home is? How do you succeed in other areas of life if you don't know where your home is? So I definitely think that really stood out to me. And that other stat, $500, right? So when we think of $500 in the bank, anything today costs $500, right? I mean, I can't think of anything that comes up that is an unexpected bill that's under $500 when it comes to an auto repair or, you know, any type of medical emergency. You can't touch any of those things, right? So these families are one situation away from, like you said, making really hard decisions about what they do with the money that they do have.
Right. And when you think about it, you know, rent is probably your biggest expense on a monthly basis. And, you know, it's the thing you need the most other than food, right? And how do you piece that all together? And I think that when families are facing that hardship, they're, you know, the panic sets in. For so many of the people who are coming to Hope and Door for support, they're not very well versed in having financial hardship. They've been at it. They're staying the course, right? They're making it work. They might be living close to paycheck to paycheck. They have aspirations of home ownership. They have young children. They're making it work. And then this unexpected thing happens, and all of a sudden they don't know what to do. They're not professionals at accessing the social safety net services, right? They wouldn't know where to apply for food stamps or other kinds of, or SNAP benefits they're called, or other kinds of welfare benefits. They couldn't tell you where one does that. They'd probably say, I'll have to look it up online. And to find themselves in a situation where they really need help is hard. And I think that what drives them so deeply for parents to keep their kids in school, to keep them with their friends group, right? Parents can say, I can weather anything, but I want to make sure that my kids are in a really stable environment. I think the statistic is that every time a child moves, and this is a move, whether it's eviction related or it's because a parent got a new job and they, you know, you move to a new community because your parent got a promotion and this is very exciting, except that the children are likely to lose about 3 months of academic advancement every time there's a move. And if you think about it, anybody who's listening who has a child who has an IEP, an individual education plan at school, you know, this is for kids who are neurodivergent or who need other learning supports. Any parent who has arranged that at their kid's school knows how hard of a battle that is. Can you imagine having arranged that in September? Now, all of a sudden, you have to move in November, December, January. It is very unlikely that your child will get the supports they need for the rest of the school year. And I think that that is what drives so many parents to figure out a way to cobble this together, to look for support, they'll pay their rent before they do other things sometimes. And then eventually, you know, the rubber hits the road, as they say, and they need to do something else. And we like to think that that is hopefully where Hope and Door can come in and provide some support.
Yeah, I love that you really are diving so much deeper on that, because the impact on families is huge. And you talked about IEPs, and my wife works in the school system, and that's actually what she does. She works with children that have IEPs in elementary. And you're 100% right. Most of those situations are established at the beginning of the school year. They've budgeted, they've planned for the whole school year. So anytime a student comes in mid-school year, it is a challenge for everyone to try to figure out how to help those kids. And you're 100% right. They're not going to get the exact help that they need because they weren't part of that original plan. And going even further back to some of your comments there, as far as like, yes, rent is the biggest bill people have, but it is the most important. And I say all the time, we are so lucky to work in an industry that provides that primary thing that people need for living, right? Shelter, so important, right? We need that as foundational. Sometimes we take it for granted, especially on the technology side. We kind of separate ourselves. And that's why it's fun to talk to you and so interesting to talk to you about this, because you are on the front lines of really seeing the impact that housing has on people. So I want to learn more about, I guess, how Hope and Door really operates, right? So we understand the problem. The problem is big. It's not going away. When we think about our economy and the struggles that people have currently, that $500 average bank account balance, the need's there. How does Hope and Door operate? How do you step in?
Right. So we are stepping in for those families that have had an unexpected financial emergency. These are families who have kids, right? So one of the requirements is that you have children under the age of 18 who live in your home. You need to have lived in your apartment for at least a year. And we'll talk about the owner landlord side of the equation, which is really an important piece of the puzzle to us. I don't want, you know, sometimes when you get in the social service space, you only think about the delivery of service, but we're providing service on the other end too. We are looking at families who have had an unexpected, really what we consider a no-fault financial emergency. These are things that could happen to any of us. I like to think, you know, I have a little social capital in my life and could call my parents if I needed a little, you know, boost. Not everybody has that as a resource. They don't have anybody they can call on to borrow or for borrow money as a loan or whether to, you know, as a gift of financial support. But these are primarily the big items for us are if there's a medical emergency in the household, car accident, and job loss. I always like to say, if you got fired because you were a terrible employee, you are not going to get a rent grant from Hope and Door. But if your company closed or they decided to merge with somebody else and you were not in a position, we had a recipient whose company, she worked in the Philadelphia area. The company merged with another company that was based in New Mexico, and they moved all of their operations to New Mexico. She and her family were not in a position to move to New Mexico. They gave her severance. And here she was, you know, trying to make it work in the short term while she was figuring out what her next job situation was going to be. Those are the big situations for us. When people apply for a rent grant, so this is not a loan, this is a rent grant, we will pay rent for up to 2 months for families who qualify. Our goal is to get your rent balance back to zero. These are families where there's wage earners, you know, somebody has income coming in. The idea is we'll help you right your ship and then send you on your way. I always like to say we're the Indianapolis 500 pit crew, right? You know, they have a flat tire, you pull into the pit crew, the pit crew zhuzhes you up and we send you back to finish the race. That's really what this is about. So that the sweet spot for us are really families who we're making it work, and then something unexpected happened. You know, when you think about it, there are a lot of programs for people, for families where there's chronic poverty, there's other mental health issues maybe that are happening in the household that's making it hard for people to hold a job. Hope and Door is not that. We're that place. We are not income. There's no income threshold. So we've had people, I would say our average household income is about $55,000 a year. So this is well above, you know, what is considered the federal poverty level. But we have probably 30% or more of our rent grant recipients earn over $75,000 a year, right? So these are families, a lot of times they're young families with young children. They're early on in their earning universe. I always say to my husband, it would be way easier if we had kids now, right? My kids are out of the house, right? Because it would be way easier to afford them. I'm making much more money now than I did when I when the kids were little, and they were the most expensive is the time when we had the least amount of money coming in. So, you know, our applicant families are no different than my family was when we were first starting out. And they're really trying to, you know, make it work, but there is income coming into the household. So we gather a lot of information. We have a very close partnership through this process, not just with the applicant, but also with the property management team where at the apartment building where the person lives. We get a copy of the lease and the ledger because, you know, we want to make sure that this is a good risk for us and that we're spending our money wisely and making sure that we're supporting families who will make good use of this rent grant and then move forward in a really successful way. So that's in a nutshell what we're doing.
Yeah, thanks for all those details. That really is amazing because, like you said, this isn't just a wide open program for everyone in every situation. You are really looking for, I love that analogy, that pit crew mentality of the race is going well, then all of a sudden it's not going well and you need some new tires, right? And that might be literally what happens in some situations where people have automotive issues, right, that might pop up and that can threaten their ability to earn money, right? If their vehicles aren't running, so they have to invest in that and not pay rent. There's all types of situations. So I love that you have all of this very unique criteria because you are really trying to help a select group of people and get them back on track. You talked about other welfare programs, other social services. Many of them are designed more for the long term, right? They recognize that there's a certain situation that will not be fixed in a matter of 60 days, 90 days, and they need long-term help. That's not what you're looking to do. These people were already on the right path. They hit a stumbling block. You step in and help.
Right. And, you know, and I think that there's no a maximum amount of money. A lot of these programs, you can only be 150% of poverty. We're not looking at your household income. I mean, we will get your pay stub. So, it doesn't take high level math to be able to figure out what your annual income is from that. But that's not the threshold. We also don't have a maximum in terms of what the rent grant could be. So, in the Philadelphia area, I believe the average rent is about $1,400 a month. So that would mean our maximum rent grant would be $2,800. But if your rent is $3,000 or $4,000 a month, we'll write a rent grant check for $6,000 or $8,000, right? We recognize some families are very large. People are renting homes sometimes, not just apartments. So if it's a rental situation, you know, we will work with you and with your landlord to, you know, figure out what makes the most sense. We'll do part, you don't have to take two, you don't have to take 2 months of rent from us. You can take a partial amount of rent. I mean, we've had people who have said, I really only need $500 or $600 to get me back on track. And I always say, are you sure? Are you sure? Because you can't come back again, right? This is a one and done rent grant program, but we really are trying to make sure that we're helping people in that moment when they need it most. And there are a million great stories about the people that we're helping. And I think one of my favorite current stories, we had a young family from Southern Delaware. I should mention, we are a 50-state program. So having grown up in New York, I have been called a damn Yankee on more than one occasion from the people in the South. I love everyone who calls me, and I would love to have an accent from Missouri because I think it's very cool, but they can usually tell that I am not from that part of the country pretty quickly on the phone. We had a young couple from Southern Delaware. The mom was pregnant with her second child, and they had a 3-year-old. And when Jody and Bobby are the parents, and Jody was going to take 12 weeks of unpaid maternity leave. Her company did not pay for maternity leave. She was going to take 12 weeks off as part of FMLA, you know, family medical leave. And she and her husband had figured out they'd saved some money to cover that lost income when Jody was on maternity leave. So, and Bobby had saved up his 2 weeks of PTO so that he could be home when the baby was born. Everything was fine. Jody goes into labor. She had a really uneventful pregnancy. And that's when things quickly went south. She starts hemorrhaging and she almost dies during delivery. They saved the baby. They saved Jody. She had to have an emergency hysterectomy, which left Bobby, his 2 weeks of paid time off was no longer going to cut it. So he needed to take another 10 weeks of FMLA that was unpaid. All of a sudden, what they had saved was not going to cover no income coming into the house. Bobby was, you know, panicked, Googling one night, found Hope and Door. We very quickly processed a rent grant for them. Their property manager called us because, you know, we have a relationship with them as part of this process. She said, you have to help them. These are the nicest people on the planet. You don't understand. Bobby will change people's oil. Like, he's not a mechanic, but he figured out how to do it so he could give back to the community. Jody bakes for people when they have been sick or, you know, need something, and she'll bring presents to anyone who's celebrating something. You have to help this family. We're very happy to help them. I am happy to report Jody's back to work. Bobby's back to work. Baby Evelyn is fine. And their daughter, Rowan, who just turned 4, Jody said it was the moment she knew that everything was right in her family when Rowan said, send the baby back. Right? So she said, for something that had started out with a little rocky, that she was now back to being a normal family where your older sibling has had it with the younger sibling. But look, that could happen to anybody, right? This had nothing. She had had great prenatal care. She was at a wonderful hospital. Everything was going right. She had had a very successful, you know, older child. All of this was really unexpected, and it really threw the family for a loop. So these are the kinds of places where Hope and Door is doing its best work, is in situations like that. Things that could happen to any of us, but have happened to a family who's a renter who we can help out.
Yeah, that story is really, truly amazing in so many ways. And one of the things I like about that story is this couple was doing, this family was doing everything right. They had thought ahead. They had planned. They knew the rules. They knew what they had to do. They prepared for it. They did all, like you could say, they did everything right, like you said earlier, and then life happened, right? They could not have predicted this. They could not have planned any differently to work around the situation. And that's where you stepped in. Now, you talk about that you quickly turned around a rent grant. How quickly does this work, right? Like he found you through a Google search. He submitted a request. Is it days? Is it weeks? How quickly can Hope and Door work?
Right. So on average, it takes us about 11 days from the time somebody applies until we do we make a decision about the rent grant. We've done it. I think theirs was fastest, which was probably 2 hours, because they were really in a position, all the stars aligned. And because the property management office was so quick to respond, there's lots of places where there can be delays, right? The more complete somebody's application is when they submit it online, the easier it is for us to move forward. We need to reach out to the property management company to get a copy of the lease and ledger. Sometimes that can take a few days because, you know, offices are busy and people are doing the work of operating their apartment community. So we get that part. So there are definitely places where there can be delays along the way. We try and expedite things as quickly as possible. We recognize that there are times when people are on the clock. Too often, people wait a little too long to call us until the eviction, you know, the court date is looming. We're doing everything we can to get ahead of that, right? If you know that you're not going to make July's rent and you called us today, we'd say, hey, submit your application. We'll request your rent ledger on July 1st so that's showing that you haven't paid July's rent, and we'll be able to move forward from there. But if you tell me you have to go and appear before the magistrate tomorrow morning at 9:15, and it's, you know, what time in Philadelphia? 3:30, it might be a little bit challenging for us to come to a conclusion that quickly. But we really do try and move quickly. When somebody does an application, we let the property management office know that the application is pending, and a little bit about Hope and Door if they're not familiar with what we do, just so that they know that the person, that their resident, is doing everything they can to make their rent situation right. So that's what we do. I will say that the property management companies are the first line of offense for us. Often they will put a notice on their, a message on their late notice that says, having trouble paying your rent, concerned you won't be able to make good on your outstanding balance, please reach out to Hope and Door. Even if we're not the right fit, one of my big points of pride is that we will make referrals to other social service agencies in somebody's specific community. So we make custom lists of resources probably 25 times a day. ChatGPT makes that much easier. When you write a good prompt, you can get very speedy information, but it will drill down on a county, a local, really drill down community. We'll give you faith-based institutions that are around the corner from your house that are places where you can receive support. We spend a lot of time talking to people about, what does it mean to work with a social service agency? What is case management anyway? Why is it helpful? Why are you not committing to a lifetime of assistance, and why you can just have it now? And why every social service agency in the universe is thrilled when you call them and say, I don't need your help anymore, right? That's our favorite day. And so we really are trying to educate the community. We also are educating. We get a lot of comments like, my landlord won't cut me a break, right? And we try and explain to them the rules of fair housing and why that applies and why their landlord is not being mean and horrible. They're just doing what they need to, you know, keep up with the laws of the United States and probably the, you know, state and township where they live. So we really are trying to be a source of education so that people can say, oh, I didn't realize that. And I said, well, now you know, they're going to be really helpful in this process. So stop being mad at them. It's not them. It's not them. It's you this time. And so we need to work together to help right this ship.
Yeah, that's great. And I love that you work really with these applicants through the whole process. Even if you're not the right fit to help them, there's other places out there. And that piece at the end really is important. As an industry, we've had a hard time since the last 5 years or so with some of the eviction situations and so forth that have come out of COVID and all of that with the eviction moratorium. But a lot of the education needs to happen, right? So people understand, like, no, the property manager, the landlord, they're not really the bad guy. They're trying to operate a business here. Right. It's not that they're heartless. It's none of that. But there are services that can help you, that can help keep you in that home, and hopefully you can get back on your feet long term and we can work this out. Because at the end of the day, they want you to rent. They want you to pay your rent. That's actually the goal, right? We all have the same goal, but they need confidence that that's going to happen, right? And that's where really you can step in. So, Amy, talk to me more about maybe some numbers, right? What is Hope and Door doing? You said this is 4 years in. What kind of impact are you making nationwide?
Right. So on a grand scale, we've done about just over $425,000 worth of rent grants. Our average rent grant is just under $3,000. So we've done rent grants to just about 170 families across the country. We've done rent grants in 18 states at this point. So I keep waiting for a rent grant from Hawaii. I'm really like, we had somebody who called, but they didn't meet our qualifications. So we gave them other resources, but I'm hopeful. What this translates into from the ownership side is that the National Apartment Association recently calculated what's the real cost of eviction. I did my own research and made my own calculation. I'm happy to say I was $22 off of what NAA had to say. So I decided we were both right. So NAA's number on an average cost of eviction across the country, I think they said, is $6,767. Let's just make it $6,800. That includes lost rent that the person owed you that they're not paying, the turn costs for making the apartment ready for the next renter, what it costs for the time that the apartment's vacant before you find a new tenant, cost of eviction, court costs, legal fees, et cetera. What I always say is the intangible part is that any property manager I've spoken to says the thing they hate most about their job is having to evict people. It does not feel good. And every time we can step in, it lightens the load for the people in the office of not having to, not just the filing of the paperwork, the time of that, but just the emotional toll that it takes when you're saying no and having to take a hard stand against a resident. Even if you're would not be unhappy if you parted ways, and we will never stand in the way of the end of a relationship. We recognize that not everybody is meant to be longtime partners, and that it is definitely a partnership between the landlord and the tenant. If everybody doesn't do their part in the relationship is doomed to fail. And we recognize that not every relationship is going to have long term. So we don't stand in the way of that. But when we look at what's the value of Hope and Doors work, it translates to almost $1.1 million in sort of eviction savings for the industry. This is money that has been saved for property owners that they have not lost to eviction because of the money that was spent. So that ROI, you know, show me an ROI that's as good as ours and I'll, invest tomorrow. It is a really good use of community dollars to help people stay in their place. It helps the person keep a roof over their, the family keep a roof over their head, but it's also helping the landlord stay whole. And as we try and explain to residents, the landlord can't replace your refrigerator if it's broken or make sure that the lights are on in the hallway or pave the parking lot or reline the parking lot or put in a new playground for the kids or a dog park or any of those things if you don't pay your rent, right? Like there's this lovely ecosystem and it only works if everybody is doing their part. And we're trying to help make sure that the wheels of the ecosystem are continue to spin freely and smoothly. And so that everybody is able to, benefit from this process. So I say we're right, the crosshairs between the landlord and the tenant, we're like right in the middle. We don't choose sides. I, could say wonderful things about both sides of the equation. And we just really try and keep the whole industry whole. I want that Keebler Cookie Factory to keep, making delicious cookies, which can only happen if everybody's working together. So that's the role.
That's right. We all love cookies, right? So that's a great analogy there. But you're absolutely right. In evictions, there's so much impact there. The emotional part for the family, for the property manager, that's a real thing and you can't assign a dollar to that. But the dollars you can assign, those have an impact on the residents that are paying rent. Like you said, those dollars have to be recovered somewhere within the business and either is an increased rent or sometimes impacts the quality of the community, right? So if you want a great community, if everyone is paying rent, if everyone's contributing, then that community is able to benefit from it. And I think that's great. And I want to go all the way back to one of the things you mentioned earlier. You talked about the generational impact that if you experience an eviction as a child, there's a higher likelihood of you experiencing one as an adult, which tells me that a lot of these people that are in threat of an eviction may have already experienced one as a child themselves, right? So if we can break some of these generational patterns, right, it has legacy impact. And that, I don't know, if you don't get excited about anything, you should get excited about that because you really are saving families from all of that emotional baggage. And then these children thinking that evictions are just part of life, right? Because they don't have to be part of life. There are organizations that can step in and help in the right situation. So almost 200 families impacted already, hundreds more to come, right?
Yeah, we have, probably about 50 or so applications in the pipeline right now. When we look, we've been started surveying our grant recipients to say, okay, a year later, where are you? right? Like, where are you living? And I think the big point of pride for us is that 90% of our grant recipients are either still living in their same apartment or have moved to a larger apartment. We've had a couple of people who've actually bought a house in the interim. But, you know, when you think about what's the stability for the industry, we've created an environment where people have continued to pay their rent and have been good tenants where they were living. Or, you know, sometimes their family has gotten bigger, so they've needed a bigger apartment, but they're still in a position to be able to afford that and to support their family and the industry. So, you know, for me to know that we're helping to, you know, keep the ecosystem going, you know, is what helps me sleep at night and makes me, you know, be very excited about the work that we're doing.
Yeah, well, it's very obvious that you're passionate about serving people. And while you're new to multifamily, new to the whole world of property management, I can see that you're picking up on all the terminology and all of the excitement that we have for this industry very quickly. So, all right. So if our listeners want to learn more about Hope and Door, regardless of, I'm assuming most are going to be property managers working in the real estate world, or if there happens to be a resident that finds this podcast and they want to learn more, they will actually want to apply for assistance. What's the best way for people to reach out?
So the best thing they can do is go to our website, which is hopeanddoor, all spelled out, .org. So it's hopeanddoor.org. All the information you need is right there, either how to reach me directly or how to apply, how if you want to be a donor because, you know, rent grants, money does not grow on trees or does not get manufactured in the Keebler cooking factory either. I would say 99% of our funding is coming from the multifamily housing industry. We have a few individual donors, so it's property managers and supplier partners are helping to fund this enterprise. When you think about it, the equation's really easy. This is a great use of resources because the money that comes in goes right back out, to feed the industry in a really important way. So we look for people to, get with us. One of the things we've been doing on a regular basis is information sessions with property management companies across the country. So a lot of people have regional meetings, you know, quarterly or monthly meetings where they'll gather their staffs together to do most of the time it's on Zoom or Teams. Give us 5 or 10 minutes and we'll show you the world of Hope and Door in a really easy and straightforward way. And we'll say, hey, look, we'll send you a toolkit that has language in there that you can put it. Well, you don't even have to think. You can just cut and paste the information to put at the bottom of your late notices, flyers that you can make available to your residents that have the details about who qualifies and what to do if you don't, because we still want people to call us. So we give you all of the tools to make this super easy. I know that there are people who have worked in this industry for a long time who love to be able to make referrals to agencies in their community. If you get in that referral space, you know it is ever-changing, right? The organizations close, they merge, the people who work at them change over time. We always say, stay in the property management side, spend time making sure the residents are having a good life, send all of the referrals to us. That's our meat and potatoes of the work and our special sauce in the industry. Send them to us and we'll help them out so that it frees up your time, both time and emotional and space to do the work of managing the property. So people should call us or email or get on our website and we'll be happy to help them.
Well, that's amazing. I'm so glad that we've had a chance to meet a few times and learn more about your organization. Yes, our industry is great. We're doing amazing things, but a lot of what most people focus on is the operational side, the technology side, pieces like that. But what you're doing has a huge impact and we're excited to watch you continue to grow this organization. So we'll drop some links into the show notes so anyone listening can easily find those and reach out to you. But I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. It's really been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Excellent. And thank you to our audience for listening to another episode. And until next time, keep going Beyond Rent.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Beyond Rent. If you enjoyed this podcast, spread the word on social media and with your peers in the industry. To be notified when more episodes are released, subscribe using your favorite podcast player. Beyond Rent is brought to you by Rent Manager Property Management Software. Learn more about Rent Manager's industry-leading software solutions at rentmanager.com. Until next time, keep going beyond rent.